This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
So we saw last time that we are holding in Hay about the fact that the different attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are distinct, And yet, to us, they're distinct, and they're one together in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one inyan. Now, let's take a look. We're holding in the middle of that piece on the next page, Tess. V'hinei be'emes, ha'derech hazeh rochok moed masagasein tzireinu. This is something that, this concept is extremely distant from anything we could imagine. U'kemat she'en lo nederech levaro imilo sefarshei. We don't even have a way really to explain it, or words to use. Ki ein tzireinu v'dimyoneinu teifis al inyonim mugbolim yivul ateva nivren yisbar shmoy. So he says an important yisod about what is it that a person can grasp. For us to grasp something physically, it needs to have limited dimensions. So I can grasp this. And if I have something bigger, I have something bigger. To grasp something requires that it have gvulos. Conceptual things require conceptual gvulos. So when I ask somebody, tell me what justice is. So the person explains what the parameters are. Justice deals with activities that are moral versus immoral. They're a consequence. The consequence fits this. I have certain gedarim. But when I tell you something is infinite, then to grasp means that I can put into a box. Literally, just like when I'm holding something, it means this fits in between these two things and gets held by it. So my seichel also has that. So justice fits into between here to here, and this is how it acts, it's what it does. But if I have to talk about something that I have nothing like it, it doesn't fit into anything. So we have to be able to get used to it, that the real understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond us. And even talking about things, so we can make the rules, we know the rules. We cannot limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has separate compartments. But what it means that the Chachma and the Ava and the Emes is all the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not separate departments, we don't know what it means. So he says, but we don't have a way to be toifis it. Because all types of learning and understanding at the end of the day is taking something that our senses are used to and sort of bringing it to seichel. It means whenever you teach, You use a mashal. A mashal means whatever it is that you're familiar with, I use those ideas and those pictures to portray something that you're not familiar with. That's the mahalach of teaching something. When there is no mashal for it, when I have nothing in my physical world that's similar to it, then I have a problem explaining it. Let's take a simple example. If somebody asks me, what is the color of turquoise like? So I'll say, well, blue you're familiar with? I'm familiar with blue. You're familiar with green? Yes. Try to picture them together. Were you ever by an ocean? And when the light's not directly on it, but when you're sitting on the side, do you know what the color's like? And so on. So I'm using Misholem pieces of material that's in his brain and rearranging it. But if a blind person were to ask, what is color like, I would really, really be very hard up to define it. What am I going to tell him? Now, I can give a little bit of a mashal. For instance, I can tell him, you listen to music, don't you? There's some music that's very tense, and some music that's very relaxing, and some music that's barely noticed, and some music that's jarring. Well, there's a sense called sight, which you don't possess. You don't know really what it is, but it also has qualities of in things that are jarring, things are relaxing, and so on. So it is somewhat of a muscle, but not a great one. The same thing when we deal with all these inyanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we use mishalim, but the mishalim are so far off because it's so not in common with what we have that we barely have any sense of what it is. So this whole, by us, thinking is one process, doing is another process, talking is another process, and so on. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's one. Ulam. I've already explained to you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias is not graspable. And we can't really compare anything that we have to be able to come up with truths that are shayach ribono shel olam. If you ever look at like a philosophical contemplation or argument, it'll start with a simple scene. You know, all of you have had this experience. What does this experience teach us? What are we talking about? So on. I go from some sort of common experience to drawing a bigger picture. So by human beings, it's somewhat shayach. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's totally not shayach, because we're talking about something totally different. And this goes to the heart of many of the issues that, as soon as our questions are about Ribbono Shel Olam, then it stops, because we have no way of comparing it to anything that we know. So the Moshe Yediyah and Bechira and all these things, we're projecting realities in our world onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is of extraordinarily limited usefulness, if at all. Avol, ze gam ki me advar mandoy me kabbalah kon shachanu. So he says, first of all, so the basis. So normally, most things that we say that we know, most things we assume we know, we base it off common experience, common experimentation. Today, how do we know all these things? And the answer is, we know it from Messiahs, like I said before. Knows all these truths are truths that are written in Svarim, so we know that, one. And then it says, umosim b'chakira ala p'yateva atzmoy b'chukoysa mishpatav. And we also can confirm what we know through Seichel and Das. This is Ramchal's repeating a point that he made before. If someone asks you, would you believe it? You know, we present all sorts of arguments to buttress what we believe. Someone to ask me, if you weren't born Jewish, if you didn't hear this talk in yeshiva, would you also come to this conclusion? I can be honest and say, I'm not sure, and very probably not. But now that I know it and understand it, it makes a lot of sense, it fits, and what you've taught me through logic supports what I know through Messiahs. There's nothing wrong with that. I have a very simple example for that. If someone were to ask you all the wonderful stuff you spout about, you know, science, about bacteria, about cells, blah, 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 all of that, would you have figured out yourself what they told you? The answer is they told me, but now that they told me, it makes sense. All the pieces fit together really well, and it's very logical, and so on. So all of these arguments and reasonings are there to buttress an understanding. So he says, we know it through Messiahs. How do we know that? Now, what is it that, what's the logical point that forces me to, that directs me, I should say, is a better word, to agree with this? She'ef shal kol ponim shal yimotze motze echod misholum kol ateva, hu koysev vulov, mikol heda v'chisorn, mikol ribui v'harkova, mikol yachas v'erech, we call mikra abruim, she yize hasiba mitis chom tzoyos chom esel bom. Kizula se mitzius em tzoyos chom roi masodosom hoi bilti apshari. The way we understand that it's right is from the fact that there is no way in the world that there could be a world, if there wasn't a being that is above chiluk, that is one. In other words, all of these points are muchrach from the fact that the world needs to have a prime being that fits the description I gave. And this is one of the descriptions, because if he had different parts to his self, then you'd have two of them. You'd have the kind God and the mean God, and the apathetic God, and the involved God. So then you have a whole slew of Avodah Zaras. And that can't be, because then they're part of a bigger group. And so on, all of the points and arguments. I want to, Baruch Hashem, today we have a way of understanding this type of this point that he's making. We live in a world where the physical laws and phenomena make a lot of sense. Physics makes a lot of sense, and everything works like clockwork. Then you start getting down to the physics, the microphysics, quantum physics, and it stops making sense whatsoever. Doesn't make any sense. Nothing of it fits anything that we've ever had experience with, and it seems counter to what to the conclusions we've drawn from the world that we know around us. Two things communicating without any touch between them, things appearing, disappearing, all sorts of things not having a clear location, and so on. All these things are things that A, make no sense, meaning there's nothing in our experience that can relate to it. But because we've eliminated other possibilities at this time, this is what we understand. So we understand it because it's the only way to describe what's happening. So we say to ourselves, okay, I don't have any grasp on it, but I know what's happening, and you know, I can identify the process, even though it doesn't make sense to me. I want to home in on the word "make sense," which is an important word. We use the word "make sense." The word "sense" is of one of our senses. So our first information about the world comes in through our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our nose. That's where all information comes. Anytime somebody tells me something, I translate it into one of those pictures. So, LaMarshall, if somebody comes and tells me that this man flew, I tell him it's absolute nonsense. And the reason is because I don't have a picture of a man flying. There's no such thing. And b'meila, I can't translate it to anything. It my senses, it does not make sense to me, because I can't conjure up a picture of a man flying. It doesn't make any sense. When airplanes were first introduced, the picture people had were of birds. So we have birds flapping their wings and flying around. So that we know. Now that we see airplanes, kids grow up seeing airplanes. So a thing flying makes sense. It makes sense because they have a picture in their minds of something flying. So what we call make sense means it translates into sensual experience that we've had. Nothing about a Kaddish Baruch Hu translate that way. But the only thing, the arguments we have, the reasoning that we have, is from what we know it exists and what we see, it must be that. So we can say things about it, we can make certain assumptions, and especially because it's based on Messiahs, but it'll never reach that level of, you know, where we can actually translate into something that, quote unquote, makes sense to us. Okay, we'll hold it here.